Shir is Daf Yotes, and we're going to begin on Daf Yotches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Ramam Yirmiyah ben Elazar, the skal of Bavel, when Bavel was cursed, the skal of Shechinah, her neighbors were also cursed. However, the skal of Shomram, when Shomram, which is part of Eretz Yisrael, was cursed, this Baruch Shechinah, her neighbors were blessed. And the Gemara brings Psukim to corroborate these statements. The skal of Bavel, the skal of Shechinah, when Bavel was cursed, so were her neighbors. They ksivt v'samteh lemoirash kipoid v'agmei mayim. I will make Bavel a place of wild birds and pools of water. So the entire area will be totally ravaged. The skal of Shomrim, the skal of Baruch Shechinah, but when Shomrim was cursed, her neighbors were blessed. The ksiv v'samteh Shomrim l'iasada. I will make Shomrim into a heap of a field, lemitei charim, a place for vineyards. So Shomrim certainly was still in a good shape. Ramam Yirmi ben Elazar, bar reish loy kemitz Hakadosh Baruch Hu midas basvadam. Look at how different Hakadosh Baruch Hu is than humans. Midas basvadam, mischayev adam harigal malchus. If somebody was sentenced to death by the king, they put a piece of wood in his mouth and to prevent him from cursing the king. However, if somebody is sentenced by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to death, he remains quiet. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, silence is praise. Not only is he quiet, he praises Hashem, Shenem Tehillah, which means to praise. It's as if he brought a carbon. It's like he fulfilled a vow bringing a carbon. And the Mashal explains what is the inherent difference between the judgment of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the judgment of a Bas of Adam. A Bas of Adam, we have to be concerned that the judgment wasn't honest, wasn't fair. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Drachov MS. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know his judgment is fair and honest, so therefore there's less reason to complain. Moreover, says the Mashah, that when a person is judged by a mortal government, his judgment is over. They have no power in the world to come. However, the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we will learn in today's Gemara, certainly is not limited to this world. It also is in the Olam HaEmes. So a person has to be quiet, because at least he should be Zaycha to Olam HaEmes. He should be Zaycha to Olam Haba. Hayna da Amar Bishuma Levi, Maidik Siv, Oivrei Be'emek HaBocha, those who pass the Valley of Bocha, which we will explain refers to Gehenim. Ma'ayin Yeshishua, they will transform it into a wellspring. Gam brachos yatam mora, and also the early rain cloaks it with blessings. Oivrei Eilu b'nei Adam sh'oivim aritzonei shabrach Baruch Hu. This refers to people who go against a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. They do averus. Emek shmamikim lam gehenim. They make gehenim deep for them. So Farshim pick up on the language mamikim lam gehenim, that they make gehenim deep. So some say pshat is that there are different levels to gehenim, as we find by the Bnei Kairach, that the Bnei Kairach, we say, are on the highest level of gehenim. Shmamikim lam gehenim means there are different depths to gehenim. Another pshat mamikim lam gehenim, the Nefesh Chaim explains, is according to the kind of sin and the way a person did an avera in this world, that's the kind of gehenim a person will receive for that avera in the next world. If a person just did a sin because he couldn't control his urge, but not that he did it b'mezid against the will of Hashem, it's one gehenim. If a person did an avera b'mezid and he purposely went against the word of Hashem, ma'amikim lo gehenim, he will have a deeper gehenim. Habocha sheboichim umaridin demas, that they will cry kama'ayin shal shisim, like the spring of shisim, which were the springs under the mizbeach, at to which nisach hamayim and nisach hayayin, the pouring of the wine, and on Sukkot the pouring of the water were spilled. And the Mepharshim explained this too. A person who did Averis, just like in this world, if a person does an Aveira, he has to bring a carbon. So too, his death, so to speak, is a carbon. Just like the animal is killed by a carbon, here the person himself is killed. And that's the carbon. And these tears that he gives forth are like the Nesachim, that every time a carbon is brought, we know Nesachim have to be brought along with the carbon. Gam brocha shetam maram shematzdikim alei masadim. They recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment is righteous. Va'omrim l'fanav, and they say in front of the Eibishter, Ribbono Shelam, yofadanta, you have judged properly. Yofazakisa, you are properly acquitted. Yofachayafta, you are properly made guilty. Yofatakanta Gehenna l'rishoyim, you have wonderfully made Gehenna for the Rishoyim. And Gan Eidom Latzadikim. And the first one explained, what is this lashon, what is this terminology, Yofa, Yofa, Yofa. So they say like this, that this what they say, Yofa, that the Rishonim say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yofa Danta, that we had self did Averis, and we of course deserve judgment for those Averis. Yofa Zechisa, you, the part of Gan Eden which should have gone to the Rasha, but is now given to the Tzaddik, is done properly. Yofa Chayafta, that the Rasha gets punished, not only for his Averis, but he influenced other people to do Averis, that he accepts too. Yofa Dekanta Gehenem LaTzaddikim, is that, what do you call it, that they say that Yofa Dekanta Gehenem LaRishoyim, that they get Gehenem not only for their own Averis, but for the Averis of others, and Gan Eden LaTzaddikim, that the Tzaddikim get Gan Eden not only for their mitzvahs, but for the mitzvahs that they caused other people to do. Any asked the Gemara, is that true? V'am Rav Shimon Lakish, Rishoyim, afila pischa shel Gehenem ein achaz b'tshuva, that Rishoyim, even when they stand by the entranceway of Gehenem, they don't do tshuva. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'yotzu v'ro b'pigra anoshim apayishim bi, you will go out and see the corpse of the men who sin against me. Shepash loy nemar, doesn't say that they sinned when they were in this world. El apayishim, that they continue to sin, even when they're in the next world, shapoishin v'halchem la'olam, that they continue to sin forever. And says the Gemara, lo kasha, haba pesha Yisrael, pesha Yisrael, do tshuva. Haba pesha av the kechavim, goyim don't do tshuva even when they're brought to Gehenim. Hachnam stabra, that makes sense. Dim kain, if not, kashd reshlokish, we would have a contradiction in reshlokish. Dom reshlokish, pesha Yisrael, that the Pesha Yisrael ain or shel Gehenim shalatas behem. The fire of Gehenim will not affect them. Kavachomer mizbach hazov. We make a kavachomer from the mizbeach hazov that was mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash. They had a thin coating of gold. Ma mizbeach hazov. She'en alav el k'oyvi dinar hazov. It was only had a thickness like of a coin of gold. Om mekamish shonim. It meant left many years. V'loy shaltam an or, and the fire didn't affect it. Mepharshim say either one of two ways. The gold didn't disintegrate, or the wood, which was under the gold, wasn't affected. Pashi Yisrael, Shemalei Mitzvahs Karimon, then the sinners of Klai Yisrael were full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate, Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Kepelech Harima Rekoseich, like a piece of pomegranate are your temples. Varam Shimon Belokish, Artikri Rekoseich, Eli Rekoseich, which means Shafil Rekonishbach Malay Mitzvahs Karamin, that even the most empty Jew is full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate, Alach Fakamakama, that they're certainly immune to fire. So we must say that the difference is between Pashi Yisrael and Pashi Oyvdei Kechavim. So first of all, the Mepharshim want to know why Pashi Yisrael, that a Malay Mitzvahs Karimon, why is it called Karimon, like a pomegranate? So the Pasha Peshat is because a pomegranate has 613 seeds in it, equal to the 613 mitzvahs, to the Tariag mitzvahs. Another Peshat that I saw is because we know that the Pasuk says that Eretz Yisrael was blessed with the Shivas Haminim. Now the Gemara in Masechta Brachos explains that how do we determine the proper order between those seven minim. So there are two factors taken into consideration. One is which fruit is mentioned first, and the other factor is which one is closer to the word Oretz in the Pasuk. So if you're first next to the first Oretz, you're first. If you're first to the second Oretz, you're number two, and so on. If you follow this order, Rimon is the last of the Shivas Haminim. Teaches us the Gemara that even somebody who's on the lowest Madrega, the Rimon is the seventh of the seven Minim, still Malayim Mitzvahs are full of Mitzvahs. But the Satmar Rebbe has an entirely different approach to this Gemara. He says that from our Gemara it says that Parshi Yisrael, Malayim Mitzvahs, Karimon. On the other hand, we know that on Sukkos, we take the Dalam Minim, and one of the Dalam Minim is the Arava, which represents somebody, she'ein by Torah ve'ein by Matzim Toivim. He doesn't have Torah, he doesn't have Mitzvahs. So how could you say that Parshi Yisrael of Malayim Mitzvahs Karimon? So he explains that the Rimon, what is unique about a Rimon? It has a very thick outside shell, which is not edible. Only the inside is good. He says that's the concept of a Rasha. The inside of every Jew is very good. Sometimes he's surrounded by, like the Rimon is surrounded, with a lot of bad influences. What is the Eitzah? The Eitzah is that he should be like the Arava, who although aim by Torah v'aim by Masim Toivim, associates himself with the other three Minim that have Torah and Masim Toivim, or Torah or Masim Toivim, and by associating himself with the right type of influence, that will affect him to be the right type of Jew, to be Malayim Mitzvahs Karimon. The Klaus Magrebbe says an interesting Sharfa Pshat. He says that the Svarim say, the Zohar says, that when a tzaddik leaves this world, he passes by the door of Gehenim, and when he passes by the door of Gehenim, he is able to pull out, to draw out from Gehenim, the Rishon. A Rasha, he says, doesn't think he's a Rasha. He thinks he's a tzaddik. So when he leaves this world, he thinks that he's going to pass by the door of Gehenim, and he's going to be able to pull out the tzaddikim. But really, he's going into Gehenim because he's actually a Rasha. Shalom Shvadron explains, it's difficult to understand. Here he's standing by Gehenim. How could a person be standing by Gehenim and not do tshuva? So he explains that Averis is not just that somebody did an Averis, he did a sin. And because he did the sin, he's going to get Gehenim. Averis define a way of life. A person chose a way of life of Avera. And that becomes ingrained in him. That's what the person is. And therefore, it's very difficult to do tshuva, even a pischoi shel Gehenim. But the Chassidish Sfarim explain, they have different way of saying the words. Rishoyim afilo apischa shel Gehenim. Rishoyim, when they come to the door of Gehenim, einon, they're no longer Rishoyim. You know why? Because when they get to the door of Gehenim, chayzrim b'tshuva, they realize that they lived long life and they did averis and they did tshuva. Continues the Gemara. El hadik sif ivri be'emek habacha. The pasuk says that they go to the depths of Gehenim. Says the Gemara, "Who the mechayev hushchata v'gehenim?" That means that they're condemned to go to Gehenna for one moment. V'asa Avram Avinu maskalahu makablu. Avram Avinu goes and brings them up out of Gehenna and receives them. Bar Avram Avinu does that for every Jew. Bar miyisrael shabah baskvet chum, except for a Jew who lived with a Gentile woman. The mashchar losoi, because it's if his mila, even if he had a bris, it's as if it's covered. And Avram Avinu does not recognize him as a Jew. The Farshim point out why Avram Avinu is the person that pulls people out of Gehenim. So one is because Avram Avinu was the one that was Mekarev Rechaikim. Avram Avinu was the one that brought Jews closer to Hashem. But another pshat that I saw is the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the bris ben Absarim, gave Avram Avinu a choice. He told him, either your children could go into Golus, or your children should receive Gehenim. And Avram Avinu chose Golus. So now, when his children come to Gehenna, Avraham Avinu tells the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we made a deal that my children will get Golus, which unfortunately we've received. So since we've received the Golus, they shouldn't receive the Gehenna. Maskal of Kahana, so if Kahana has a problem with the Pasuk, Hashda Amr HaPoshim, now that you explained, Rav Ashi, that you explained when it says the word HaPoshim who sinned, the Pashli Ma'azli, it means that to continue to sin even now. El Ma'at Adiksiv, the Pasuk says regarding Yitzis Mitzrayim, HaMoitzi V'Amala, who takes them out, the Masik Ma'apaku, doesn't mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu continues to take it out. Ella the Asik Vapik. What it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Hachinami, regarding the Pasuk of Poshim, the Pashihu, it means that they sinned while they were alive, but they of course don't continue to sin after they die. Vamar Rabbi Yerba Loza, Shloisha Pesachim Yesh L'Gehenim. There are three doors to Gehenim. Echa B'Midba, one of them desert, vech b'yam, and one in the sea, vech b'Yerushalayim, and one by Yerushalayim. But midbar, the k'sivir dehem v'chol shalom chayim shaul. It says regarding Korach and his followers, they went into Shaul, which is Gehenim. B'yam, the k'siv mebetni, this apostle by Yoina, mebetni Shaul shavati, from Shaul I cried out, shemata koyli, you heard my voice. Hashem says he has a fire in Tzion and a furnace in Shlaim, where the Pasuk speaks about the fire in Tzion, Zu Gehenim, V'tanu B'Yerushalayim, Zu Pischa Shel Gehenim, it refers to the opening of Gehenim. So the first one explained, what does this mean? They say that the world is divided into three areas: sea, inhabited land, and uninhabited land. And there's an entrance to Gehenim in each one of these areas, in the sea and the desert in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, which represents inhabited land. Another pshat is that these three things, the Ben Ishchai says, represent the three different places, the three different types of Averis. Midbar refers to Dibur, Averis that people do through speaking. Yam refers to Taiva, person has desires. As the Pasuk says, Kol Necholim Holchem El Yom, all the rivers enter the sea, V'Hayom Einei Molei, and the sea never gets filled up, it never gets satiated. And Yerushalayim refers to Gaiva, the person doesn't have Yerushalayim. The Pasuk says regarding Yerushalayim, Yahar V'Nor V'Zokein, they didn't have the proper Derech Eretz. Those are the three types of sin that a person could get Gehenim for. Rav Shach explains the Gemara in the following manner. He says the Pasuk is teaching us, the Gemara is teaching us, that wherever a person is, he always has to watch his ways and prepare himself to avoid falling into Gehenim. It makes no difference if you're in the Midbar, it makes no difference if you're in the Yam, it makes no difference even if you're in Yerushalayim or HaKadosh. A person has to watch his ways, because if he doesn't watch his ways, he could end up in Gehenim. Now the Mefarshim ask, if Gehenim has three doors, as the Gemara says, and the Gemara before says that Avraham Avinu sits by the door of Gehenim to pull his children out of Gehenim, if there's three doors, what does he do? So the Imri Emes says that there are three doors of Gehenim, but pshat is that there's only one door to go into Gehenim. There are two doors to leave Gehenim. So Avraham Avinu only sits by the door to go into Gehenim. By the doors to leave Gehenim, he doesn't have to sit. Another pshat is why there's three doors to Gehenim, because they pass the Rishon by one door. Perhaps when they see what's going on, they'll do tshuva. Pass them through the second door. Perhaps when they see the second door, they'll do tshuva. Only when they get to the third door and they still haven't done tshuva, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu unfortunately put them into Gehenim. V'su leka, asked Gemara, are there no other entrances to Gehenim? V'amra Maryam Amram Shum Levi, V'amra Tana Rabba Ba Maryam B'dabei Rav Yachanan Ben Zakkai, Shmei Tamarus Yesh B'gei Ben Hinnom, there are two palm trees in the valley of Ben Hinnom, V'oil Oshim Benayim, and smoke goes up between them. And this is what's referred, that the palm trees from Har Basel shares a kosher for a lulav. Vizui Pesach Shoganim, and that is considered an entranceway to Gehenim. So see, we have another entranceway to Gehenim. It says the Gemara, Dilma Hain Yerushalayim. That entranceway is the entranceway that we just mentioned, that there's an entranceway in Yerushalayim. Amr Rabbi Shu ben Levi, Zayin Shemas Yeshle L'Gehenim. Gehenim has seven names. Ve'lehein. Sha'oil, Va'avodon, Uber Shachas, Uber Shoin, V'Tzalmovis, V'Eretz Hatachtis. And the Mefarshim explain, why do Gehenim have seven names? Because it represents the 7 days of the week. That every day of a week, a person could chas v'sholem do an aveira, and he has to watch himself to prevent himself from doing aveiras, where the repercussions are that he could end up in Gehenim. Shol, the Ksiv, Mibet Nishol Shivati, Shemata Koili, the Pasuk by Yoina, that he said he felt like he was in Gehenim. Avodoin, the Ksiv, Vayusupa Bekever Chazdecha, Amunoscha Bavodoin. Ber Shachas, the Ksiv, Kiloy Sazov Nafshi Lishoil, Loisitin Chasitcha, Lirois Shochas. Ober Shun Vetita Yovain, the Ksiv, Vialeni Vipara Shoin, Vetita Yovain, Vetzalmavis, the Ksiv, Yoishve, Chosh, Vetzalmavis, the first sitting in the shadow of death, which is Gehenim. Veretz, Atachtis, Gemaruhu, they had a Kabbalah that was one of the names of Gehenim. Vesuleka, asked them, are there no other names? Viki Gehenim, there's the name Gehenim itself. Answers the Gemara, Gehenim is not a proper name, it's a description. Gei Shamuka. It's a deep valley. Shahakal Yard Loyalis Gehinam. Everybody ends up there for acting immoral, right? The Marshal explains. And he says it particularly means immorality with relative, incest. Because he says if somebody does an aveira with somebody else that he has to pay for, it's not chinam. Here, chinam means that they don't have to pay for the aveira. Others, Mefarshim explain, that chinam means as we explained earlier, that the worst type of an aveira is an aveira that a person doesn't do just because he got caught up. He does it because he doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't believe in HaMitzvos. Chinam, he did the aveira for no good reason. Ask the Gemara v'ikka Tifta. There's another name. There's a name called Tifta. Answers the Gemara, as the Pasuk says, Ke'orach mi'esma Tifta. Tifta was already prepared from before, from yesterday. Answers the Gemara, that again is only a description. Shehu, shekala mispata b'yitzroi, somebody who is seduced by his yitzhahara, yiposham, falls in there. Gan Eden. Where is the entranceway to Gan Eden? Amrei Shlokish, in Beretz Yisrael, who, if the entranceway to Gan Eden is at Yisrael, Beishan Pischai. Its entranceway is in Beishan. So Rashi explains, since we know from Parashas Bereishis that Gan Eden had wonderful fruit, he says the best fruits in Eretz Yisrael were in Beit Shan. So if the entrance to Gan Eden is in Eretz Yisrael, it's at Beit Shan. Vim Baravia, and if it's in Arabia, Beis Garm Paschai. Beis Garm is the opening, because that's where they had wonderful fruits. Vim Bein Narasu, if it's between the rivers, between the Euphrates and the Tigris River, the Muskin Paschai. Its opening is at the Binskin. Bebovel, Abaye, Eshtakech, Beperi, the Mav Yemina. Bebovel, Abaye, with praise, the fruits of the south side of the Euphrates River. And Rava, Mishtava Peri the Harpenim, and Rava would praise the fruits of Harpenim. We go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Ubeinayim Kamala Ishtai Rivkas, between the two posts, there has to be a space wide enough for two teams of animals, of cows, Shurais, when they're tied together, for Loi Mataris, not when they're untied. Ask the Gemara, Pshita. Why did the Mishnah have to use the word v'loy mitaris? Kivin the Tanelu, the Kshuras Hava, once we learned in our Mishnah that they were tied together, obviously Anon Yadin and Ludav mitaris. We obviously know that they were not tied, that they're not loose. Why does it have to say loy mitaris? Answers the Gemara, Ma'adatem Kshuras. I would think when the Mishnah said tied together, it means Ke'en Kshuras. They should be as if they were tied. Ava Mamish loy, but they don't actually have to be tied together. K'mashmah v'loy mitaris, they're not tied, which is a smaller amount. So we learned achas nechnasas v'achas yotzes, one going in, one going out. So now the question is, well, one going in, one going out, how do we look at it? Do we look at the animals alternating, one in and one out, or is it the teams alternating? Tanus, the Brisa teaches us revoch nechnasas, revoch yotzes, one team facing entering, and one team facing exiting, which is smaller if you just is narrower than if you just had each animal alternating. So we learned in the Mishnah that the minimum size for which Pasi Baros works is Rosh Veruba Shapara. Says the Brayso, Tana Rabbanan, Kama Rosh Veruba Shapara, how much area is that? Says the Gemara, Shtei Amos, 2 Amos. So that means the minimum size is 2 Amos. So the way most Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Yonason, and that's the way we're going to learn, the Gemara learn, that it means 2 Amos in each direction. So around the pit, you have to have at least 2 Amos of space, that this should be considered an area where Pasi Baros work. Others learn that as long as you have on one side 2 Amos, Pasi Baros work. And others learn as long as you have around 8, 2 plus 2 plus 2, you have a square of 8, even though the pit is not exactly in the middle, it will still be effective. Kama of Yishapira, how much is the thickness of a cow? Amma v'shnei shlishi amma. Amma and 2/3, so shein ke'eser, which is like 10. 6 times 1 and 2/3 equal 10. Divrei remeya. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kishloish esrei amma ukaba esrei amma, like approximately 13 or 14 amma. As the Gemara, the Brisa said ke'eser, it's approximately 10 amos. As the Gemara, ha'esa have you, it's exactly 10. 6 times 1 and 2/3 equal 10. Answers the Gemara, v'shun debayla misni sefer k'shloish esrei, since in the sefer, when we describe Rabbi Yehuda Shita, we want to say 13, but we can't say 13 because it's not really exactly 13, because 8 times 1 and 2/3 equal 13 and a third. So there, because we can't say kishloish esrei, we can't say approximately 13, tvei have you, because it's more. Mishum the boil of Mr. Kabab Esrei, we want to say it's like 14, but it's not 14 either. Kabab Esrei lo have you. That's why, Amra Papa, what is it? Yisayr Shashloish Esrei, it's more than 13. Ve'en Magiyas Lab Esrei, but it's not quite 14, it's 13 and a third. So since in the Sefer, we use the Lashon of Ke'eser in Kaaba Esrei, because you can't say exactly 13 or 14, and the Tana did not want to mention fractions, that's why in the ratio where it is exactly 10, we still use the same language of Ke'eser. So the Mefarshim, so Tosfos points out, many times in Shas when we have that type of Gemara, the Gemara asks, is the point of our Braisa to teach us math, to teach us multiplication, that the Braisa is doing it here? So Tosfos answers, the only time the Gemara asks such a question is where we're not mentioning the number, well, we already start with a number. So the Braisa, the Gemara will ask, do I have to say that 1 plus 1 equal 2? Here, since the Braisa, since the Mishnah never mentioned the exact width of a cow, so we anyway have to start with calculations, so we do the entire math. Amra Papa. So we learned in the Mishnah, Amachloikis Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. Ramei said that the maximum opening is 10 amos, and Rabbi Yehuda said that the maximum opening is 13 and a third. Om Rapapa. So Rapapa explains. But Bar Shmoina, if the pit itself is 8, the Kula Alma Mepligi, everybody will agree the Loi Binim Pshutim. There will not be a need to bring any more poles than the L-shaped posts on the side. Why? Because if the bar is if the pit is 8 amos, and as we learned before, there are 2 amos on each side, so we have a total of 12. Now the post on each corner takes up an amma, so we take 12 and we deduct 2 is 10. So an opening of 10 is a fine opening, and there's no need for further correction, even according to Rameya. The Bosh de Mesrei, however, if the pit itself is 12 amma, and then again, we have to add 2 more amos on each side of the bar, which will bring us to 16. And then even if we deduct 2 amos for the 2 posts, we're down to 14, which is more than 13 and a third. Again, the Kula Amalai Pligi, everybody will agree, they're being in Peshutim. There will be need for further correction, because it's more than 13 and a third. And like we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda only allows for an opening of 13 and a third, not more. The truth is, the Rishonim say, even if the bar was more than 11 and a third, it would already have this issue. Just the the Gemara wanted to use whole numbers. Ki pligi, the machloikis of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda is limited to a situation when the pit is mishmain v'chtem esrei, between 8 and 12 amas wide. L'Rameya, since the maximum opening is only 10 amas, in such a situation, being in Pshutim will have to bring another post in the middle besides the corners. Rabbi Yehuda, however, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who gives us an opening of 13 and a third, Lord being in Pshutim, there won't be a need to bring any further correction than the corner post. Asking my Rapapa, my Kamashmalan, what's Rapapa teaching us? Tanina, we already learned in the Braisa what everybody's maximum opening is. And says the Gemara, Rapapa Braisa Lo Shminai. Rapapa did not hear the Braisa, but Kamashmalan Kabraisa, he taught us the same thing. He figured out exactly what the Braisa said. Asked Tosis, a moment ago, Rapapa was the one that explained the Braisa. So what are you saying, Rapapa didn't hear the Braisa? So Tosis says that when Rapapa said this Gemara, he had not yet heard the Braisa. Only afterwards did he hear the Braisa and explain it. Aryach Yoisa Basal Chitzes Chotzer Shifsha Simit. The Gemara is going to begin now a series of six questions that Abaya asked of Rava regarding the halachas of Dimudim, specifically regarding the machlokes or Meir of Yehuda. Herch b'dimudim, if somebody extended the double post, kishir pshutim, by the same as the single post, instead of bringing in the single post in the middle, as Ramea taught us in the Mishnah he should do, he made the double post longer, and thereby he reduced the width of the opening to the 10 amas. Ramea Mao, what's going to be the halakha according to Ramea? Do we say that since at the end he has an opening of 10 amas or less, it's been properly corrected? Or, Rashi explains the Gemara, since lengthening the side post is not that noticeable, people may think that side posts work under all circumstances, and that's why Remeir insists that he always make posts in the middle. That's how Rashi learns. The Ritva picks up on this a little better. The Ritva says that there are advantages and disadvantages to the side post, to lengthening the side post, or to putting in a middle post. Sometimes, if you put in a middle post, you'll accomplish that there'll even be less than a 10 amma opening on each side. But if you make the post longer, you'll be left with a 10 amma opening. So that in that case, a poshet is advantageous over lengthening the side posts. On the other hand, if you have a poshet, you're always going to be dealing with a situation of poritz merubah la'oymed. On the other hand, if you lengthen the side post, you may end up with a situation by combining the two side posts of Oymed Merubah LaParetz. So that's why the Gemara wants to know, what will Rameya say? Amalei, Surava answers to Nesua. We learned in a Braisa, Olvach Yabba Pasim. He always should add to the boards. My lab, doesn't that mean the Marav B'dimudim, that he should extend the double post to narrow the opening? So we see that according to Rameya, extending the double post is acceptable. So Mefarshim ask, how do we know that this Braisa is Ramea Shita, that was saying that this Braisa is a proof what Ramea holds? So the Rishonim answer, since we know the rule is Stam Mishnah, Stam Braisa is Ramea, we assume that it's Ramea. Furthermore, it's difficult to explain, they say, that the Braisa is going in according to Yehuda, because this Braisa says, as we're going to learn later, that the area that could be encompassed by Pasa Baraz is a very large area. And Rabbi Yehuda, we learned in the Mishnah, holds that you can only encompass Beis HaSayim. So now that the Braisa seems to say that you can lengthen the side post, we have a proof, it seems, the Ramea allows us to lengthen side post. Says the Maloi, what it means is, the Mapish for Ava Pshutim. It means that you should always make more single post. Ask the Marie Hachi, if that's what it means, that instead of saying that he should add to the boards, it shouldn't say, it shouldn't say add to the existing board, it should say add more boards. So answer the Gemara, to me, learn mean that you should add more boards. So like the Mefarshim explained, it doesn't mean that we should remove the words. The word says bepassin, which means, the word means bepassin, means adding to the existing board. But what we're doing is, don't define it literally. Rather, we should be able to define it that you should add more post. Ikadamri, another version, amalei nesua. Ovach yaba pasim. One should add to the boards. My lab, doesn't it mean the map is for Arab Pshutim, that you should make more of the single post in the middle? Says the Gemara Loi. What it means is the marach b'dimudim. You should extend the existing post. And that's what makes sense. Minitani ovach yaba bipasim, that you should take those existing boards and extend them. Shmamino, that according to Rameh, you have a choice. You could do whatever you want. You could either extend the existing post, or you can add single post. Now the Gemara asks, on the other hand, Barmina Abaye mi Rabba. So Abaye asks from Rabba, Yoisa Misholish Esri Am Vishlish. If you have an opening that's larger than 13 and a third, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, you certainly have to do something. Rabbi Yehuda Mahu, what will Rabbi Yehuda tell you to do? Pshutim of it, should you make single post, or Bedimudim Marach, or should you extend them? So the Mefarshim say a few things in explaining this kasha. Firstly, the reason the Gemara doesn't say that obviously we should be able to do anything you want, like we learned in the previous Gemara, is since in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda did not at all mention the issue or the possibility of making pshutim, perhaps Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to that opportunity. He says that the only Eitzah, the only opportunity that there is to do by passive baraz, is just have the corner post. Nothing else is an Eitzah. And like the Rishonim explain, why is it better to extend the existing post than to create a portion in the middle? For two reasons. First of all, by extending the existing post, you may end up with a situation of Oymid Merubala parts. Furthermore, with a poshet, as we learned in the Mishnah, you always have the problem of osa avir da hai gisim of atalei and osa avir da hai gisim of atalei. So since the poshet comes with all of this, all of these disadvantages, and Rabbi Yehuda never in the Mishnah mentioned this concept of pshutim, perhaps Rabbi Yehuda does not at all subscribe to it. Amalei. So Rava answers Abaye to Nesua. This answer is in the Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Kamehim and Kerovin, what is the minimum amount around which Pasi Baros work? Kedei Rosh Yeruba Shalpara, which we explained was 2 Amis. The Kamehim Ruchokim, how large of an area could it be? A Filo Kar V'Karayim, could be Kar or 2 Kars large. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. He said, Beis Asayim, if it takes up 2 Saw, Mutter. Yes, in base of sign, but if he takes up more than 2 saw, osir. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, Iyatamayda, don't you agree? B'dir v'sar umuks v'chotzer, the place where animals stay, or the backyard, or the front yard, tafil abas chameshes kurim, even if it takes up an area of 5 kor. Tafil abas asar kurim, even if it takes up 10 kor. Shemutter, that you're allowed to carry in that area, even though the enclosures. Amalan, so Rabbi Yehuda responded, Zumachitza, this is a wall, and it has different halachas. V'elu pasim, these are boards. You can't compare the 2 cases. Those, the deer, the sahar, are enclosed by walls. Well, however, here we only have the pasim baras, so therefore we only permit a more limited area. Now, v'im isa, if it's true that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only method of correcting is by constructing these L-shaped boards, so if we extend them very much, they would have the same din as walls. So zumechitzim, by the way. So what does he differentiate? The both mechitzes. So answer the Gemara, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have the physical characteristics of mechitza. Hachkama, what he means to say is zutaris mechitza lea, or prisas v'eser. These partitions that surround the animal place, or the muksa, have the din of a mechitza, and they only could have an opening of 10 amis. The elo taris pasin lane, but these have a different din. They have the status of pasin, not mechitzas, and beritzos mishloish tesam v'shlish, and therefore they could have an opening of 13 and a third. So, we don't know exactly what Rabbi Huda says in terms of what will he paskin about making pshutim? What the Rishonim explain, what is the fundamental difference? Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda in the first Mishnah allow for a larger opening than 10 Amos or higher than 20 Amos, the first Mishnah in the Masechta? So Mefarshim explained that when you're dealing with a Mavui or a Chatzar, you're dealing with an area that's enclosed with three walls or maybe even two walls, but they have at least some existing walls. Here, we have no walls at all, and that's why we have to be more Machmer. If you have a mound of earth which rises to a height of 10 tefachim within 4 amos, neither mishum diyamid could have the status of the yamid, or any neither mishum diyamid could not have the status of the yamid. So we look at picture 128 on page 43. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that in a Rishus Harabim, in a Rishus HaYochanan, it's very natural to have bumps in the ground, and therefore they don't become a distinct Rishus. Only, the Gemara says, if you have an area that's 10 Amos high within an incline of 4 Amos, that's considered a distinct and separate area and will have the halacha of a separate Rishus. So now the Gemara asks, if you have such a situation, what is going to be the halacha in one of the corners, as is indicated in the diagram? Can that be considered a diyomer or not? Amalei tenesua. We learned on the brayser. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, hayisham ev merubas. If in the corner, as in picture 129, you have a square rack, royin, we look at it. Kol shetichalek. If the stone was split, v'yesh by amal kan v'amal kan, and would still be left with an amal in each direction in the right corner, nidin b'shem diyomid. It's treated like a diyomid. V'mlav, if not, ainin nidin b'shem diyomid. It's not considered like a diyomid. Now, Rishmol b'noy shab yochem b'broik oimer, he goes even a step further. Hayisham evan agula. If the rack was round, as shown in the right top right corner, royin, we look at it. Kol shetichakek v'tichalek. We look at the rack, that if it were made into a square shape and then split to form a right angle, if you're left with yesh by amalekan v'amalekan, an am in each direction, then nidim shim diyomid, it's considered diyomid. V'mlav, if not, ain't a nidim shim diyomid. Maikamifki, what's the machlokes? Masav echad roim amin. Rav Shimon Elazar says that we say we can only do one change. So if it's a square rack, we only have to do cholkin. So that's acceptable. Trei royin, but to have to do two changes, to first turn the circle into a square, and then take the square and turn it to right angles, loyim rinin. Or masav, and Rav Shmuel holds, I feel trei royin loyim rinin. That even if it has to do two changes, turning a square into a circle and also making it into a right angle is acceptable. So even by round rack, we could be makel. And the Chazon Ish explains, it's not an issue of how many imaginary changes the halacha allows. The point is, when people see this rack, will they understand that it serves as a double post? Then we could be makel. If not, we can't be makel. Now the machloikas is, what will they imagine when they see a round rack? Will they define a round rack also as a diyamid, or perhaps only a solid rack? So we see again, the question about a mound of earth, which is round, two procedures are required to transform it into a right angle. So Rava answers Abaya, the question you ask depends on the machlokes that we just had between Rav Shimon and Elazar, that will be machmer, and Rav Shmuel will be mekel.